Department of Public Law, 1975, Chapter 231, notice is hereby given that this is a regular meeting of the Borough Council, and all requirements have been met. Notice has been transmitted to the Borough Park Press and the Seaworthy Times. Notice has been posted in the public bulletin board.
Roll call.
Mr. Noah?
Here.
Mr. O'Neill?
Here.
Mr. Clancy?
Yes.
Ms. Payne is absent this evening. Mayor Little?
Here.
Resolution for executive session. Be resolved that the following portion of the meeting will be following only described matters shall not be open to the public. Under contracts, we have a J.T. White land plant lease. Under real estate, we have land acquisition scenic property. Under personnel matters, we have Reg Robertson, DPW supervisor, Paul Murphy, code enforcement officer, Pete Atasio, municipal judge, all of which have been raised. Be further resolved that it is anticipated that the matters to be considered in private may be disclosed to the public at a later date when the need for privacy no longer exists. And be further resolved that no portion of this meeting shall be electronically recorded unless otherwise stated. And be further resolved that the private consideration is deemed required and is permitted because of the following noted exceptions set forth in the Act. That would be 5, 9, and 11. Would someone like to offer that?
I'll offer it.
Offered by Mr. Nolan?
Second.
By Mr. Francy? Mr. Nolan?
Yes.
Mr. O'Neill?
Yes.
Mr. Francy?
Yes.
Mayor Lewis?
Yes.
Excuse me. Right.
We just need Rebecca here because it isn't fair on these guys.
We have to do an amendment, have a public hearing on the amendment. You might want to vote yes. Wait till you hear the amendment. You might be okay with it.
What's the amendment?
It's to move the money to the legal that you want to substandard housing.
Okay.
Put the money, extra money in, and the rest of it is for snow removal. Okay, so you might not
have... So that's over and above the budget?
No, that just moves money around within the budget.
But what about the whole budget in its entirety? Is it a separate vote?
It's part of the whole budget.
You can abstain at the end if you want to abstain. You can move the amendment and abstain at the final adoption.
Can I just abstain from the specific municipal budget?
No. What you do is move the amendment and then abstain.
What does me and him both have to choose? We have two votes.
I know,
surrounded
by women.
Women to the left.
Introduce the amendment.
There aren't times. But what about the vote? At the end, if there's only four people voting,
I don't
two
know
abstaining.
What to say to that, buddy.
Yeah, what do you call it? You got a
czar for me? You don't? You mean when Becky's
here?
Oh, okay. So the next one.
4, 7, 8. You don't feel comfortable? 8 on 3?
So then you move the amendment. They might think it's the amendment.
And even price at that point.
Which will be the next one.
Oh, I see. Well, I'm impressed by that.
That's what I'm thinking.
Well, people are waiting to start party. Let me just do it.
Yes.
Call to order. Pledge of Allegiance.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Here.
Mr. O'Neill?
Here.
Mr. Francy?
Here.
Ms. Kane is absent this evening. Mayor Little?
Here.
The first item that we have on the agenda this evening is the SFY 2010 Municipal Budget Public Hearing.
Okay, and I can open the public hearing on the budget at this time. At this public hearing, any member of the public that has a question or a comment on the SFY 2010 budget can raise their hand, and I will call on them. You'll state your name and your address, and then you can make your comment or ask your question. Is there any member of the public that has a question or comments on the budget? Okay, I guess we can close the public hearing on the budget.
Okay. At this time, now move for the amendment.
We have resolution R10-49, which is a resolution to amend the budget. It has been posted and is available for the public.
Okay.
No, it's been posted.
It's a resolution.
I'll offer it, Mayor.
Okay.
Offered by Mr. Nolan.
I'll second it, I guess.
Second by Mr. O'Neill.
Any discussion at the table on this resolution?
Do you, at this point, do we want to explain why we're doing it?
Yeah. Okay, the amendment was to address two concerns that the council had, which was to move some money into legal for substandard housing, and then to move some money into code enforcement for substandard housing, which has been accomplished. The second part I had to add, we are out of money in snow removal, not unlike many municipalities, I'm sure. So we had to put move some money to cover the additional snow removal and what may come in the next month or so.
Okay. Any further discussion at the table? Roll call.
Mr. Nolan?
Yes.
Mr. O'Neill?
Yes.
Mr. Francis?
Yes.
Mayor Lo?
Yes.
And this sets the public hearing for the amendment at March 3rd here at 8 o'clock for this amendment. And that also sets possible adoption of the budget for March 3rd.
So there will be a vote at the next meeting?
Yes.
Well, first meeting in March, I'm sorry.
Yes.
Okay. The next item on the agenda is a presentation by a community theater and possible borough hall renovations. And I believe we have a drawing in our packet. So I'll recognize at this time the community theater group. Hi there.
Hi.
Would you stand up, introduce yourselves? This is the council. We're missing one member, Councilwoman Rebecca Kane, who's not present this evening.
I'm Mary Rios. I'm the president of Sore Productions. This is Mo Rios. She's the treasurer of Sore Productions. And this is Joyce Horan. She is one of our trustees. Last week we gave you a packet with a proposal and a drawing. I'm not really sure if you want me to re-present it or if you had questions.
Well, are there questions from the table as to what is being proposed or what's already been suggested?
Is this going to be a place where you put on plays?
Yes. Okay. We are a community theater. We're a 501c3, and we have been moving around quite a bit. We're actually looking for a place that's ADA compliant. We do 3 or 4 children's shows a year. The rest, we do about 10 shows a year altogether. The rest are comedies, musicals. Our signature show is The Wizard of Oz. We have the only witch in community theater that really melts. So that's what we would like to do here in the old firehouse.
Where else have you done this?
We were in Union Beach for 2 years in a firehouse there. Which we liked, and we were there for 2 years, but it would flood every time the water came up, so we couldn't stay. It cost thousands of dollars.
We don't have any flooding at
home. We have mobs back there mopping, so.
Have you received any recognition for your theater work?
Actually, we were voted the best community theater in Monmouth County by the Asbury Park Press Readers' Choice Awards for 2009. And there is an organization called the New Jersey Association of Community Theaters, and Mo has been nominated for Lights and Sound Awards through them. So, but the 2009 for Best Community Theater from the Asbury Park Press is the most recent. And
what's the average age of the actors in these plays?
It varies. It depends on the play. The Wizard of Oz, we cast age appropriately. The Munchkins are as little as 5. The principals are adults. It really depends on what the play calls for.
How about casting? Do you do that yourself?
We do open auditions. We advertise it in the paper or on the website, just about any place we can. We like to try and provide an alternative to sports. A lot of our kids do not play sports. We have a lot of special needs kids that don't have any place else to go. This gives them an outlet. So we try and bring as many people into it as we possibly can. The more hands you have in a play, I don't know if any of you have ever been associated with theater, but it's a lot of work. So the more hands you have, the better it is. Mm-hmm.
And who supervises the actors that are under 18?
Oh, Mo and I, Joyce, we always have a member. We have a board of 9, and there's always at least 2 or 3 board members at every rehearsal. That's one of the rules. If you don't obey, then you're out. And, unlike the schools, that's a real threat. If the kids want to be there. So if we say, if you misbehave, you can't come. back, they take that pretty seriously. Yeah, we have a behavior contract that the kids sign. They sign it and their parents sign it. And, you know, listing how they would, what the repercussions will be for misbehavior.
Okay.
Have you seen where the, where the bathroom facilities are? Are they adequate here?
They are not ADA compliant. We had actually on the plan proposed maybe putting a bathroom in to the firehouse where the where the plumbing is. Obviously, that would have to depend on a plumber. I have a brother who's a plumber, so if it gets that far, I'll have
to. Okay, but where they're at now wouldn't suffice.
Well, they'd be fine most of the time, but the problem is that we couldn't get somebody in a wheelchair up here. So, those stairs might be wide enough for one of the chair lifts that fold up against the wall, which are not prohibitively expensive. A bathroom in the firehouse would be our first and best choice, but if that's not possible, then we could explore a lift, something, you know. Because we have several people who are autistic. We have one boy who works with us who's cerebral palsy, so he couldn't get up and down the stairs.
You have a question?
Yes. How do you see us coexisting? That is, we have a town hall, it's an ongoing activity, and then there is this space, and I'm assuming that you're going to be doing rehearsals, there'll be a business office or something inside. I mean, at this point, there'll be a fairly regular use of the space, besides the shows.
Right, it would be regular. The children's shows usually rehearse from 4 to 6 or so. The main stages, which are, in theory we call them main stage, because if you say adult shows, then everybody thinks that they're buddies, It's more family theater, you know, The Wizard of Oz, that would be a main stage. They rehearse in the evenings because a lot of the actors work, a lot of our kids do after school activities, so they are usually 7 to 9:30, 7 to 10. The only people that are really here during the day would be Mo and the building crew when they're building sets and Joyce making costumes. You know, the daytime activity would be limited to a handful of, usually.
Would you be putting in a personnel entrance into the garage doors, or would you be utilizing our front door?
That would depend on what the building code says. I would imagine that we would.
And how much would we be isolated, for example? I mean, at this point, we could have 20 kids, and maybe they're not as well supervised, and they're up and down the hallways. Is that a situation, or how do you see handling something like that?
It's never been a problem. We have always, up to this point, shared a space. So. No one's ever complained. We've never had an issue with behavior.
Right.
Have you ever shared space during the day with an ongoing use that's different than yours?
Always. We've never worked with another theater. We were in a church. We were in a firehouse in Union Beach.
So there might be times when you wouldn't have access to the space because something else might be going on in that space.
Right, which is hard. That's one of the reasons why we're looking to rent an empty firehouse now, because it's very hard to schedule rehearsals around.
Sure.
Like the firehouse used to use it for their promotion ceremonies, or I don't know what they call them, but they would set up the tables. And it's hard to schedule around other people. So
you are looking for exclusive use of the space if you're going to be doing this.
Right, because I don't know what else we would use it for once we put a stage in there.
Yeah, I think we've had that discussion. It is a polling place right now. There's been talk in the past of using the space for a library temporarily until a new borough hall can be built. So that discussion did take place. There is a member of the library committee present this evening, and I know that there has been some discussion back and forth, albeit not in advance of last meeting, which was a mistake on my part, but there has been some discussion back and forth as to the potential difficulties in sharing space between the two of you, and it seems that you share those thoughts as well from your perspective. So that's an issue we're going to have to deal with.
That with the library, too, there would be space issues.
That's, I think, what
the
library committee was thinking as well.
This, the stage is a permanent structure.
It's permanent for our purposes.
You're not taking it down at the end of the show.
No, we're not taking it down. You know, from the time the lease is signed to the time that it expires, it would be there, yes.
One of the issues that we're struggling with is at this point, the amount of leasehold improvements you need to do to this space for yourself, all right, would make you want at least a 5-year lease in your mind?
A long-term lease would be better for us, yeah.
Longer than 5 years?
Well, at least, I guess 3 to 5 is what we have worked with. The number that's been running around my head.
And I'm not so sure that we have a 3-year or 5-year plan that space is going to be empty. And I don't know how we work that around. Just be aware of that. We haven't talked about it enough to have a full understanding of 5 years, what's going to be happening. So, and that really has very little to do with you. All right. I personally think it would be a great addition to the town to have something like this going on.
No doubt. It is a good addition to the town because it brings people in who would not normally be here. They eat before they go to the show, they eat after a show, they shop. I know Red Bank figures that for every dollar spent on arts, $8 is generated.
Gotcha.
So that's a pretty strong business.
How many people
if I had a business here, those numbers would
help you, yeah, sure. How many people would you think would average come to the show?
Our Wizard of Oz averages 80 to 100 people. It would depend on the code how many people we could get in there, but the children's shows average about 60 to 80 people. The main stages depend on how well known the show is more, but we average about 40 people a show spread out. You know, like they're not, the children's shows are every single show. The main stages average about 40 people a show. And that's with moving. Moving for theater is very hard. You know, you need to stay someplace so people can know where you are, know what kind of show they can expect out of you, and get used to you being there so they get used to, you know, to going to the theater as opposed to movies or bowling or wherever else.
Right. You have any idea?
Whatever recreation they.
Sure. You have any idea typically how many people usually, if you enter town, come from another town to go to the show?
The children's shows, almost all of them. Very
from out of town?
Very few, you know.
Well, I'm worried about parking. That was an issue brought up, too, because there are lots a couple blocks away.
Right. But in the summer, this is a nice town in the summer.
It's a great town, but it's also packed in the summer, too, you know, already. I think it's a great thing. Don't get me wrong. I'd love to have it. I'm just worried about some of the logistics.
Do you do daytime shows or only evening?
It's usually Friday and Saturday nights, and then a matinee on Sunday afternoons. Not every Sunday. Depending on the show, we do 1, 2, or 3, depending on. Shows usually run 3 weekends. Wizard of Oz, which is our signature show, we do 9 shows. For some of the smaller shows, we would do 6, 7. You know, it really depends on show itself and what we have to get rights for the shows too. We have to pay for permission for the show. So sometimes it depends on how many they allow us to do also.
Right.
Have you ever partnered up with a school or no? Just because of the people coming in and out, you can't do it?
It's hard we're actually talking to Henry Hudson now because we have a school show that's in rehearsal now that Goldilocks goes on trial, is actually in rehearsal and ready to go up. So we were looking for a place to put that up. The problem with the schools is that they do their own shows, so it's hard to schedule rehearsals around them and performance times.
What are you talking with Henry Hudson, just doing the one show?
Just so this cast has been working really hard for a long time.
They brought up anything about you coming in at different hours and stuff? Because, I don't know, it might be something we just do up there.
The problem with the schools is building during the day.
Do you mean Highlands Elementary, or...?
Right. Well, we were also speaking with
Henry
Hudson.
For the record, that's Tara Ryan, who's on the school board at Highlands Elementary.
Right. We haven't got the call back from them.
We'll talk to you about that.
Okay.
Yeah. Sorry,
the advantage to the school space, in my opinion, is that the stage is already existing.
And there's parking.
Places, and you have ample parking. I like the idea of this activity going on Bay Avenue because we need to stimulate some kind of pedestrian traffic on Bay Avenue for many reasons, and you would help to do that. How we do that with the library, I have no idea. My envisioning in the beginning was that we'd be able to somehow share that, and it doesn't look that way at this point. It's going to be one or the other.
Yeah, it would be so, very difficult, especially the library, because we both take up so much space.
Right.
You know,
so
we don't really have
I think we have a lot to talk about as a council. Yeah.
Do we have a firm idea of what you would require from us in terms of improvements to the space and then what you would do? I mean, have you gotten to that depth of detail?
No, we haven't. We were going to talk when it got to that point about money and who would pay for what and, you know, rent relief, that kind of stuff.
Mm-hmm.
We're, like I said, we're a 501c3, and, you know, we're not in it to make money. We're
sure.
in it to do theater. So we don't have a lot of money, but, you know, we're certainly willing to do whatever we can. And we also know the towns now don't have a lot of money either. So, you know.
I mean, why can't this happen in, for example, the community center?
Because there's no stage
there. There's no stage here either.
Is there a space? Like, it would mean building it and leaving it there.
Yeah.
Like, we can't put it up and take it down all the time.
That's the problem.
No, I understand.
Yeah.
But that, sometimes that can get worked out, a temporary stage. I mean, how high is the stage?
Usually, we try and do it anywhere from 2 to 3 feet so people can see.
Right.
Otherwise, you know, we need to look up unless you put red seating goes up, but that's
right.
Yeah. See, the problem is, too, not to cut you off, there's no parking there. We're talking 40, 50 cars of people coming in.
In Union Beach, it was a similar neighborhood. It was a similar, they actually had less parking. I think we had like 9 spots in the firehouse.
Yeah,
Union
that was
Beach.
It. And it was never an issue.
It wasn't really an issue.
Well, you don't have any spots here.
It's a zero.
you're starting off with.
We had the three of us in there. It wasn't.
We never had people complain about parking.
We don't mean to complain either. It's something I think everybody wants. It's just trying to figure it out. So the schools are out? That's perfect?
For what we need to do all the time.
Right. Because you're coming and going. Adults are coming, right?
People are coming and going all the time. During the day, we're building. It's loud. Usually, the schools are in the cafeteria, so it's also messy. You know, you're cutting wood, and then you're feeding kids lunch.
Have you looked into any other commercial facilities in town?
We have tried, but commercial is a little expensive for us. We really don't know that we could handle a commercial, and then you have the utilities and everything on top of it.
Most of them haven't been suitable. There's columns right in the way. We need basically a wide open space with high ceilings.
Right.
Which is what that is.
We've been looking all over the place. In fact, when we first started school production, this is the first place we looked at was here. We couldn't find a suitable space.
Right.
We did look at Kibbe's. There's columns everywhere.
There's a lot of things you can take out of Gimpy's. Some of those columns are not one of them.
But the school is very hard because I go off building usually during the week because I'm retired. So I come and go a lot. I do the lighting design, I do the all building for the sets, and then if I need some help, I'll have somebody come help me. So I basically need access whenever I want.
Mm-hmm. Right.
In the middle of the night, I'm like, I gotta sleep.
Right.
So that's why school is very prohibitive. Then I need to leave supplies there, tools there, and
power
things
tools.
Like that, power tools. And
right.
So school is, it's a good stopgap measure, just something like just to do a show here and there, but not as a permanent thing. It would never work. I used to own a theater in Bradley Beach, and they condemned the building, so I had to move out, and I tried to use the school, and it was a nightmare.
Okay.
It really was.
All right. Any other questions at the table? I think we have a lot to think about.
We would certainly look at the community center. You know, we were actually talking to a VFW in another town when we first started also. So anything that's a large open space, we would
Well, there are large open spaces at both the VFW and the American Legion. I think they do rent out the halls, though.
They do, yeah.
So I don't know if that would work there. The community center, Mr. Hill would be the contact there, and he's very approachable. I have no idea what he's going to think about you leaving the stage in his big room, but you could certainly talk about it.
Just rent and...
I'd really like to see you be in Highlands.
Oh, yeah.
We have to figure it out. We're gonna have a lot to think about, a lot to talk about.
We'd like to partner with some of the restaurants.
I think that would be a wonderful plus. Plus for the town. Yep. So let us deliberate and see what we can come up with as options.
Okay, thank you. If there's any more questions, please feel free to call us or email. I think my business card is in there.
I think so too. Somewhere. Carolyn, do you have contact information for them? If not, get it from her now.
She gave me a call on Mr. Hill.
Could we get some kind of possibility of dollars?
Okay.
Yeah, well, I think we should come up with that.
Yeah, on both sides. I mean, what they tell us what they expect us to do, obviously.
I don't think they know. They're clever ones. They really think we have to tell them.
We have to define what we
need. I think it's going to come from us. And they're going to say, oh, we can or we can't. And we're going to have to figure it out from there.
This is basically what we were sold.
Well, you're right about
that. And I say could. Got and everything else.
Thank you very much. Yep. Listen, thank you for the present. Well, listen, it's nice of you to think of Highlands. Okay, so that puts us on to public participation on agenda items, and I think we have two people who have signed in. Public portion's open, and the first name on the list is Tara Ryan of 17 Ocean Street. Subject number 2, it says.
All right, I'm not going to comment on the agenda items, right? Thank you.
Oh, okay. Next would be Michelle Pizzullo of 115 Highland Ave.
Same thing.
Okay, so we'll close the public portion on the agenda items. We're on to the consent agenda. Is there any person at the table that wants to remove anything from the consent agenda at this time?
I believe we have to make a name to the Shade Tree Commission, unless that was clear.
I'm not sure.
Yes,
we
do need to amend that resolution to indicate a name, which I believe.
Yeah, there was no name in there.
Okay.
Who'd you have?
Mike Kovac. I was going to put up the name. Is that all right with you?
Excellent.
Okay, with you guys? Okay. Michael, all right. So we're going to put the name of Michael Kovac in to R-10-46. Mm-hmm. Any other additions or changes for removal of any items on the consent agenda at this time? Okay. I can entertain a motion on the consent agenda.
I'll offer it, Mayor.
Second.
Any discussion?
You want to tell the public the name of the person?
Did I not say it loud enough?
I'm sorry.
Maybe I didn't say it loud enough. On R-10-46, a resolution appointing members of the Shade Tree Commission, we're offering the name of Mike Kovac as a member of the Shade Tree Commission. Okay. So we have a motion and we have a second. Any discussion? Roll call.
Mr. Nolan?
Yes.
Mr. O'Neill?
Yes.
Mr. Francis?
Yes.
Mayor Little?
Yes.
Motion carries.
Okay, we're on to the proclamation. Okay, it's ARC Awareness Month, March 2010. The proclamation reads, in recognition, whereas intellectual and developmental disabilities are conditions which affect more than 7 million Americans and their families, and whereas public awareness and education enhance a community's understanding of the issues affecting people with intellectual and developmental disabilities, and whereas people with intellectual and developmental disabilities can be vital and vibrant members of our communities, improving the quality of life for all of us, and whereas the month of March has been designated ARC Awareness Month by the state of New Jersey, with 20 chapters of the ARC undertaking public awareness, educational, and fundraising initiatives, And whereas the Ark of Monmouth serves over 1,700 individuals with intellectual disabilities throughout Monmouth County and advocates for and with people with intellectual and developmental disabilities and their families. And whereas the Ark of Monmouth is celebrating 61 years of service to families and individuals throughout Monmouth County. Therefore, the Mayor of Highlands does hereby proclaim March 2010 as Ark Awareness Month in the Borough of Highlands, New Jersey, and urges that the citizens of Highlands, New Jersey give full support to efforts towards enabling people with intellectual and developmental disabilities to live full and productive lives of inclusion within our community. And that's dated today. And I can't sign it in pencil, so I have to burn it. Okay, next item.
One for second reading and public hearing at this time is Ordinance 0-10-4, an ordinance creating a business improvement district within the Borough of Highlands. This ordinance was published in its entirety in the February 5th edition of the Two River Times. I would also like to state that the borough did receive a letter from the Board of Directors of the Highlands Business Partnership with regard to this ordinance, stating that they oppose it.
Okay, I think at this point we should open it to public hearing as it's been advertised for a public hearing. So I'll open the public hearing on this ordinance at this time. Again, during this public hearing, members of the public that have a question or want to make a statement with regard to Ordinance 0-10-4 can raise their hand, be recognized, state your name and your address, and the comment or the question. Any member of the public? Mr. Parla.
Yeah, Jim Parla, 16 Portland Road. I want to understand the list of the properties that's attached. Is this the whole list of properties that would be taxed by Dollazine?
Yes.
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 That's all.
Any other member of the public have a question or a comment? Michelle Pizzou.
Why are they taxed only $5?
That's a suggestion by
the borough attorney.
Oh, the borough attorney.
Right, Mr. Ordinance. The question was why in this ordinance, so there's a $5 tax.
There was a cap that the council wanted to place on the amount of money that was going to be paid into the fund.
Okay. In the back?
John Rowe County, 29 South Bay Avenue.
Right.
Is that $5 annually or monthly?
Quarter, right?
And
quarter?
Well, annually? $5 a year.
Annually.
Annually. Yes.
Yeah. Okay.
Anybody else from the public have a question or a comment? Mr.
Yes.
Dowling?
Ron Dowling.
68th. Okay.
I would just like to know how the area was selected for that.
And how the list?
Is there a map?
I believe it's done according to the designation of the district, which was done by resolution a long time ago, right?
It's a duplicate list. As the previous, it's the district that was in the original bid resolution back in 94-ish, I guess. It's the same district. Not a lot has changed from that original resolution to this one. Except the amount of the assessment is fixed at $5, and there are some other conditions on the district management corporation.
And it's basically the beautification of the area that they're in, right? I mean, the upkeep of that area.
It's for the assessment is for projects that would benefit the businesses, and it. They are projects that are selected by the businesses. This is a vehicle to help improve business development in town. That's the goal of something like this.
Is there any expansion going to be on that?
Expansion of what?
You know, if they expand the area at some time in the future?
I don't think so. I can't speak for everybody else. At this point, the focus is Bay Avenue. But at this point, it includes, the district right now includes more than that, but that certainly is the focus.
Any other questions or comments from the public? Yes. Kim, what?
Yes, Kim Scorpio, 315 Shore Drive. Can you tell me how this is different? We spent many hours at council meetings arguing back and forth with the old bid, and now it looks like we're going to put it in. What's the difference? Why is this one okay and the other one wasn't?
It's a loaded question.
I think it's a fair question.
No. I don't mean that at this point. It's what all of the contention is about. And I can speak for myself. The goal here is to get more control over the business development function in town that is sorely needed. And in my mind, hasn't been provided. So at this point, this is an attempt by the council to control the business development direction of the town. All of the fighting back and forth with the HBP is that, and it's my interpretation of the way they feel. I'm not a member. All right, they feel that they should have that control and that their membership should have that control. And at this point, the council has felt differently. And so the bottom line is what's going to be different is that there will be control over the new district management corporation. That's the goal. Control at the HBP, who was the designated management corporation, the district management corporation, we weren't getting that kind of influence. That's our view, all right? They have a different view, and that's what it is. And I really don't want to argue that anymore, because at this point, that vote is done, we're moving on. So the real difference, and it's a flat tax, because at this point, the resolution to establish the bid district, you have to, the assessment is the major part of it. So we were going to say a dollar. Rather than $5, all right?
Just to make it legal.
Just to make it legal. It's a construct of the ordinance that we have any kind of assessment, all right? It's a construct of the ordinance that we have a district management corporation. We haven't named it yet. Within the ordinance is the creation of a study group, 7 members, I believe, all right? To study what we need to do, all right? So there's a process that we have to go through. All of this was recommended by the DBAT. So, I don't want to fight all of that again.
Ms. McEntee.
Unless I'm missing it.
Roberta McEntee, and what's your address on 5th Street? My neighbor.
Roberta McEntee, 5535 5th Street. I don't see the clam declaration on here. Is there any reason that they're not included in it?
I think the borough owns that property. That's why. It's borough-owned property, that's why.
Wait a minute. The lot is borough-owned, but
right.
Is this office and such?
Uh-huh.
On the corner?
Yep. I believe it's borough-owned and it's been leased.
No, the office on the corner is not. The corner of Bay and Valley Street?
Yeah.
No, we don't own that building, no. The mayor misunderstood what you were saying, I think.
Mm-hmm. Okay, the only reason I ask is because they're having a pretty hard time. Things are slowed down for them, and I thought maybe they would want to be involved in something like this, that they would be a part of the company in the town. And they deserve it, they're hard workers.
They generally sell their product at the Clam Festival.
Yes, I don't know, I can't look at it. I don't know the name.
Well, I can look at it, but it would take me some time. If it's privately owned property, it should be listed as part of bid. If you're going to create a bid and you're going to include commercially owned properties, you have to include them all.
We own it, right?
What?
Well, not that all.
Depends on what you're talking about. I mean, the clam plant on 5th Street is on borough property. It's leased to the people right. That operate there. So the borough can't tax itself. This way. If it's privately owned, it's part of the bid. Because the borough's responsible for whatever goes on at that property. Mm-hmm. Anyway.
Okay.
Carol Bucko.
I just wonder how you...
Oh, what's your address? Shore Drive.
Carol Bucko, 330 Shore Drive. I just wonder how you're going to do anything wonderful with the businesses at $500 or less a year. You know, $5 is $500 now. You know, your businesses. And I think you ought to really carefully look at the list because there are some businesses that are missing.
Okay.
Before you...
Thank you.
Put it in the final.
There's always been a question of if the right ones are on here, and they do change, you know, businesses come into business and out of business. So
it should be looked into.
Mr. Arnett, is there a flexibility in the list?
The list was prepared by the Girls Professionals, and that was the information that they had.
So would that be the tax assessor?
That would be the assessor. And
but if there is an error in that list, we wouldn't have to change the ordinance. So these businesses aren't included by ordinance.
They are included. You'd have to amend Schedule A to do it.
We would.
Yeah.
So if there is a business on here that shouldn't be or not on here.
If there's a business on here that shouldn't be, they will contact us in the provisions that are in the ordinance that allows them to come forth and say it shouldn't be there because of X, Y, and Z.
And does that require an ordinance change?
No, that does not. For them to come forward and supply proofs that they are not within the district or should not be taxed because they're a resident,
right,
not a commercial property, whatever the case may be, that does not need to be done by ordinance.
Right. And
I hope that answers the question.
Okay, but the reverse.
Well, the reverse is this was information that was supplied to us, and I think CC County believes it, the clerk believes it to be complete because we
right.
got this from the professionals, so
right.
I'm presuming it must be. And in the event that it's not, we can go back and modify it. The $5, the collection can be then taxed out to them.
Right.
Or assessed to them.
I think what we're hearing at this point, it's not a final list necessarily. It is, there's a process to adjust it.
Yes, because each year you might have a commercial property coming in and out.
Right.
So any other member of the public? Okay, in the back.
Tom Pepin, 39 Washington Avenue. Carol mentioned that the borough received a letter from the HPP indicating that they opposed this ordinance.
Yeah, I'll read that into the record. It's February, I don't know if the public has a copy. February 12th, 2010. It's on the letterhead from the Highlands Business Partnership. They list their post office box address, their email, and their website. It says Mayor Anna Little and members of council, and it's addressed here. We would like to take this opportunity to give you an update on the actions of the nonprofit Highlands Business Partnership, Inc. Members of the HBP Executive Board met with Professor Grossman in order to reorganize our structure now that we are no longer a bid. A simple way to explain is that an ordinance creating a bid is like a marriage certificate that binds the government together with the nonprofit business organization. Now that the ordinance was eliminated on December 2nd, 2009, one can perceive that we are divorced from the government. Based on that concept, the HBP Board of Directors has a responsibility to protect the assets of the nonprofit corporation and the integrity of our programs. We see this as an opportunity to protect our investment. We have put out a press release of this nature. As you are aware, we had a meeting scheduled for February 10th, 2010, in which you were invited to attend. Unfortunately, we have to reschedule due to severe weather conditions. We've obtained professional guidance to amend our bylaws and our mission statement in order to maintain our nonprofit status and continue our successful marketing and event programs. The expert will act as a facilitator for the Board of Directors and make recommendations to amend the HBP's current bylaws and mission statement to adhere to our nonprofit guidelines. This will allow us to self-sustain and still be eligible to receive tax-deductible donations from any entity if they desire to sponsor our programs. In light of this information and our ability to self-sustain, we must stress that we no longer want to pay a bid assessment and do not support the ordinance creating another bid. A great deal of time, money, and effort was made in 2009 to eliminate the bid. We were told to self-sustain, and we did. Why is there a need to pass this ordinance when we clearly have moved in another direction? In closing, the HBP is recognized both in the state and the county tourism office for our marketing and events. Business owners should be the ones to market and maintain our destination program, not the government. From this date forward, we will seek your permission on an as-needed basis to hold events in the community, just as every other organization in town does. At this time, we seek permission to hold our annual St. Patrick's Day Parade in Huddy Park and on Bay Avenue. We will require the usual services of the police and public safety officials to host a successful event. The parade will be held on March 20th, 2010 at 2 p.m. We value your longstanding support to the business community and look forward to expanding our programs when the economy permits. Sincerely, HBP Board of Directors. So that was the letter. Anybody else from the public have a question or a comment? I'm going to just call on this gentleman in the back.
So I'm sort of following up on Mrs. Bucko's question regarding the cost of this ordinance. Are there any conditions where the costs borne by the businesses will be greater than $5 per year?
Absolutely. When there are projects or requirements that are created by the business or the business, they decide themselves that they want to increase the assessment. Yes.
Who's going to decide? How?
The board of directors of the District Management Corporation.
And how is that comprised?
Okay. Well, that was Christian Lee, and this is Michelle Pizzullo, the second speaker. It's okay.
I echo that question. So I'd like to hear the answer to that question, too.
The whole purpose of this DPAT study was to create that district management corporation, to create it, its makeup, whether it's 17 business, two residents, there are recommendations on how to do these things. The HBP, for example, could choose to say, we would like to be your district management corporation again. And we would entertain that. I think.
Sure.
Entertain that completely. All right. Subject to some of the controls that are the ordinance carries. Controls that we didn't have, personally, frankly.
I'd just like to close in that case by saying that it seems far too open ended to me. And as someone who pays these taxes, I'm opposed to just having an open ended, where I could be paying anything. So
right.
I oppose this.
Be quite honest, this letter catches me by surprise, personally, because at this point we were led to believe, through all of this fight, the businesses want the bid.
Right.
From the beginning, this has been a fight about whether the bid should exist or not. Right? And so that this letter is a surprise to me, and quite frankly, I think we're going to table this, all right, so that we can digest this. This is a surprise. Does this letter represent a majority of the businesses? It purports to be. All right. I've talked to one business owner who agrees with this letter 1,000%. Why are we doing it? Frank has talked to business owners who want the bid. This is a changing game on us right now. And so we're sitting here, we're having a public hearing because we noticed and we have to do it. All right, but the reality is, I don't know what we're going to do at the table, but I think we're going to table it.
Miss Bucko, I know someone else over here had their hand up.
330 Shore Drive. Chris, I've read the ordinance several times, and it keeps saying $5 maximum cap. No more than that will be ever reflected. And
it
you just said it's an open end.
It doesn't say that. It doesn't say no more.
No,
read the next sentence after that. It talks about if deeds get created. Paragraph 3A.
17 3A.
After the $5.
Right, $5 is in 17-2 section D.
It shall be capped.
Special assessment. Shall be capped. $5 per property owner shall be imposed and collected by the borough with the regular property tax payment. Or in payment in lieu of taxes or otherwise, and that all payments shall be transferred to the District Management Corporation for the purposes of this chapter.
It's on the first page, it's on that page. Capped
at $5.
Capped at $5 per property. That's it.
Well, is this letter saying that the HBP, when it reorganizes basically and changes its bylaws and mission statement, how are they going to generate the money they're going to need to self-sustain?
Carol, I refer to you
by
to...
Do it for 10 years.
I'm sorry, Rick.
By fundraising?
I expand.
I'm asking. I don't know. I just read this letter.
I refer you to paragraph 17.5, Carol. Assessments, operation and maintenance of the district, annual operation, maintenance costs relating to services peculiar to the district, all right? Don't they provide about...
It does not exceed $5 per property. It says it in there again. It says it...
All costs of...
17.5.
The borough may, by separate ordinance or amendment to this chapter, provide that improvements of facilities here and after require or develop shall be operated and maintained at cost, and the cost assessed to the benefited properties. 17.5b. There's a mechanism to raise the assessment. It's clear. Nobody thinks $5 is going to do anything. It is a placeholder. It is a placeholder in the ordinance so that we can move ahead. We have other things to do in this town besides this bid. And we've been talking about it for a long time. We need to move ahead.
Okay. In the well, yes, you haven't spoken, and Michelle, you'll be after that. Okay.
Pauline Jennings, 27 Rock Street. As a taxpayer, it all is presented as though it is the management company wants to continue to promote the town their way, but they want us, the taxpayers, to support what they want to do without conforming to what the council has in mind. Am I wrong in this? I mean, you have,
that's how I read it too.
You have the police and all of the public services that this nonprofit group wants to have at my expense.
Right.
You're back to where you started in this whole debacle.
Well, actually,
so that's what the, as I'm hearing it, that's what the letter is saying. They're saying we're opposed to you having any input in what we're doing, but we want your money.
Right. Come have the cops show up at 2 p.m. on the 20th for the parade.
Exactly.
That's what it's saying.
Yeah. I don't want my taxes going to pay for this. If they want to do these things, which are wonderful for the town, why do they not want to cooperate with the rest of us taxpayers?
And man, when you read the report, as I know a lot of people did, that we were supplied, and I guess it was December, there's enough blame to go around. I don't want anyone.
I'm not blaming.
No, I am.
My opinion as a taxpayer.
I agree with you.
On where I want my money spent.
I don't disagree with you. That's part of the onus on what we're doing. But if you read the actual report, it says we should be here as a town, not just as a bid or the borough council, and we're here.
Yes.
And it tells you that this table's to blame. It tells you that that organization is to blame, and there's other, and I take that, as having sat up here for 3 years before, I take my part of that blame. But the reality is, it's also saying in that report that a lot of the things we concentrated on for 10 years might have been second, not first. Because if you're bringing people into a town for these great events, and they all are great, they're walking through flooded, you know, condemned houses and flooded streets.
Mm-hmm.
So that was the onus on doing this, because we were trying to get something going where we had more control at the table in a direction of bringing everything together in one shot, and that's what it said in this report. And that's why we're doing what we were doing.
But Pauline, I think we want to be clear, all right? We want to support the St. Patty's Day Parade with the police.
Absolutely.
I don't think you're saying we don't.
Oh, me too.
And
me too.
And the same thing.
You can't have it everywhere. You
right.
have to work
right.
together.
Correct.
We all have to work together.
And
it's not either or.
It is the partnership issue that has always been the problem. And the new bid ordinance tries to fix the partnership part.
Okay.
And.
But it's not, obviously. If they're objecting to all of this again, we're back in the same mess.
Well, they might not be the management group. That's why this ordinance was written the way it was.
You know,
because there's a business improvement district, and then there's the management group. The HBP was the management group.
So let me further ask another question then. If the letter writers, for want of a better name, because I don't know what the entity is,
HBP.
If the letter writers are not chosen as the management group for the this business group.
Right.
That you're putting
the BID.
Mm-hmm. Will you then be supporting both?
No.
Where will that be?
And this is really what has changed. Everyone understands that the events are the major revenue generation, all right, and they are the major marketing tool for the town. All right, that's right. Who runs those events, all right, is kind of key. The HPP is, for the first time, recognizes they do not have the, for example, right now, they do not have the Clam Fest. They don't, at this point, they're asking for permission on the...
On a venue by venue.
Correct. And if we move ahead with this ordinance and create a district management corporation, and I've been counseled to be careful about this because maybe the district management corporation would entrust the business, the events to somebody else by their choice, by however they make their decision. The council isn't going to make those decisions. The district management corporation is, all right? They may decide to have, let somebody else run the events and they'll just focus on the business development. I don't know how this is going to play out. But this partnership thing that you're talking about, Pauline, is what we feel has been missing, what we're trying to fix. And at this point, the HUP, as their executive director said, they feel that we are divorced. And at this point, we have to take that into account.
But like you said, Pauline, Ms. Jennings, they can't have it both ways. You can't be your own private 501c3 corporation, whatever. Do what you feel like, generate the revenue you generate, spend it the way you want it, and then call up Chief Blewett and say, you got to send six guys down here to take care of this.
That's my point. Exactly.
Ricky, you got to send the public works guys down here. You can't have it that way.
Right. That's my point exactly. And it's not enough to come across and say, we've changed our mission statement, we've done this, that, and the other. That doesn't mean diddly squat unless you come out and tell us what your mission statement is and what we are paying for.
Right. But if you look at it and I don't know, the way I read this letter is, I think when the bid first came in, the assessment generated about $90-some thousand.
97.
Then it was cut in half. Everything worked the same. Now basically you're saying I can do it without generating any money. So as a guy's, and ladies sitting up here, you have to say, well then, what happened to all that dough that I was giving you for the past 10 years? Was that necessary? In theory, if you could go from 100 to 47, you could have generated whatever you needed, kept $50,000 and been running this on money that you had earned for the past 9 years. You tend to think, right? That's the way I look at it. I don't know.
I was under the impression that everybody knew what was going on from the get-go. And in recent months, I've discovered that that was not the case.
There's a lot of problems.
Two separate entities here, and one did not know what the other was doing. And that's ludicrous.
Right.
In a town this size, come on.
Yeah, there was problems. And I'll tell you the truth, I felt, and I believe some of the others that have sat here, felt as a town official, we never carried our side of the burden. But
right.
But as a town official, I know I carried my side.
We
carried our side
of
the burden.
We've got to move beyond this. The flooding and everything else is way more important.
There's a lot of things that are way more important. I believe, in my mind, the ordinance that we're looking to do with the $5, that was just put in place to secure money that we were getting from outside corporations because...
The sponsorship of the parade.
Right, sponsorship from Comcast or whatever, the power company. Because the way that it was set up prior, the HBP couldn't take that money directly. I think we had to take it, Scott, and it was transferred to them or something.
They couldn't do it without a bid district.
They needed the district for us to get the money. So
just from their legalities.
During negotiations and talking to them, we were trying to set this up so we could secure that money for them. Evidently, it seems to me that they found somehow to do it where they can secure that money themselves, and that's why
they got it.
They don't need us anymore.
We don't. Yeah.
I don't know. So
that's the dynamic that's changed.
All right.
So,
please, may I request that we try to move forward on this? We've had too much of it already.
Now, what we're trying to move forward on, so we're all clear too, is that report was a 4-page report. So, if we all agree that the first two pages are the Bible, so are the second two pages. And that calls for a lot of things, that we've had a lot of very hard and long meetings in this room about the last 10 years, and specifically substandard housing, specifically absentee landlords, and a lot of things to do with generating more readables in the town. So we're going to try to do everything on those four pages.
Thank you.
I did see a hand in the back of the room. Do you still wish to speak?
Yes.
No? Behind you.
Oh.
Yeah? Okay.
Really, basically, what this whole thing is about is control. I mean, let's just cut right to the chase with this. It doesn't mean that this is a better ordinance. It's about who's got control over what and how. That's what this really comes down to. And it shouldn't be a surprise that a business partnership is coming up against this because, you know, I know if I'm a business and I have to pay for an assessment or I've got, you know, bottom line riding on this, I want to have something to say about my destiny, which is why the whole business partnership was established in the first place. To put the power in the hands of the businesses, not the government, a five-board council that's going to tell everybody, all these business owners, some of them have been here for generations, what's best for them. The way this is all set up is that the businesses can decide for themselves. And that's why they oppose it. And I oppose it too. It's a complete departure from how this whole thing is supposed to work.
John, we're not looking to tell them what's best for them. We're trying to tell them what's best for us as a community, as a group of elected officials that represent the taxpayers and those people that don't want to be part of that organization.
Okay, well, let's talk about that for a second, all right? We had when the bid budget was cut, you saw how many people were here in opposition of business partnership. Like two people, three people. The vast majority were for it. Some of the biggest ratepayers were here. We're for it, you know? And none of these issues addresses problems that were mentioned in the DBAP report about flooding and substandard housing in this last 10 years, which aren't the HPP's responsibility. That's the town's responsibility. So changing the bid all around and who's got control and all this other stuff is suddenly going to make the things that the town is concentrating on the entire time better? That was never the HPP's job, was to correct flooding or any of this other stuff or keep garbage off the street. Town should have been doing that for the last 10 years. So no matter how you change this ordinance, it isn't going to correct that. So town's doing its job.
Town is doing its job, John. And by
apparently not, because that's not what the
DBAC
said.
By taking care of this,
the DBAC says that the garbage on the street not collected, substandard housing.
No, that's
all
not what the DBAC
issues.
Said, John.
And the DBAC report says, because I read it, is that one of the problems the business partnership has in marketing the town is because the government is not enforcing